This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by the Cornell University Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and the following are recommendations and observations for the week of April 9, 2012. Well, having just completed the warmest January to March in weather record history, we are slowly entering a profoundly dry period throughout most of the region. It seems as the warmth is trying to advance the season. The moisture is holding it back. No question, many are relying on irrigation and sand-based systems. However, this is an ideal time with cool night temps to allow for some moisture stress as both physiological conditioning and encouraging more extensive rooting. With moisture in check, few disease problems, and many still holding off on annual bluegrass weevil treatments. Weeds still remain a major concern for many sports and lawn managers as thin turf areas are filled with winter annuals, including annual bluegrass in heavy seeding and slowly emerging summer annuals such as crabgrass. Establishment is stuck in the dry weather. We had a fourth consecutive above normal week, but it's slowing. Some at only 3 to 4 above New York City and south, and north about 1 to 2 degrees above normal. As a result, a slow and growing green day accumulation with about 20 to 30 in New York City and south, and none in upstate and northern areas. Seasonal totals still remain 3+ weeks ahead of normal, but there's a noticeable ceasing of progression of the growing season. Soils are in the mid-40s to the north and mid-50s to the south. Persistent dry conditions are leading to depletion of soil moisture as ET levels remain unusually high at 0.5 to 3/4 of an inch for the week and rainfall at less than 0.5 inch for most areas. Drought measures continue to increase, and next couple of weeks will determine how severe this will be for the year, with many areas in the northeast at only 25 to 50% of normal rainfall. The more normal weather has brought a quick halt to much biological development. Most have made the second seedhead suppression application, and many have made the first pre-emergent crabgrass. This may be the week for the first annual bluegrass weevil spray, and still some time for most to control broadleaf weeds. The forecast for the coming week calls for another normal week with temps with 50 to 60s for highs and 20 to 40s for lows. Many areas still experiencing some frost and freeze overnight. Very little rain is expected, and combined with high winds, expect high ET rates. Long term, the cool and dry pattern is expected to continue, and you can check out all the weather records at our forecast website. Our Cornell Cooperative Extension update begins with Emily Selleck from the Adirondacks with questions about soils coming in, particularly in areas that were hit hard by Hurricane Irene. The golf turf is extremely dry and not as robust as it was only a couple of weeks ago. Many have irrigation ready to go, but morning temps are still in the teens and only in the mid-40s in the afternoon, so many are holding off. Some very heavy wet snow or poor man's fertilizer may help, and soil temps in the mid-30s for the last week. An interesting report from Dave Chinnery in the Capital District. There was concern from a local consumer about a lawn weed, first identified in garden centers as Dichondra, which would unlikely be Dichondra, since it's a warm season broadleaf perennial, unlikely to persist in the north, especially this time of year. It could be confused with pennywort or dollarweed that has similar leaf shape, grows in wet areas, but often not a major problem. It's easily controlled with most three-way products or a dense turf. The Westchester Report, Rick Harper, Jerry Giordano. With forsythia at half green and recent cool down has put plant phenological indicators that bloomed early into a semi-holding pattern, while some later blooming plants are still opening, creating unusual overlaps in bloom times. This spring is proving that different species don't necessarily respond to unusual weather on the same timetable. With recent showers, lawn mowing is beginning, but area soils are still relatively dry. Dandelions are opening, and with crabgrass germination having begun early, we've seen Japanese stiltgrass joining the throng at a half-inch high, and Muhlenbergia is just starting to green up. Golf courses report disease pressure relatively low, but lots of annual bluegrass seed heads. And finally, the Eastern Long Island report from Tom Kowalsik. Lawns have gotten quite green over the last week, and this is really accelerated lawn mowing on the East End. Zoysia grass is still mostly brown. Sod lawns that are usually slower to green up in the spring are showing more signs of green this week. Green leaves can be seen forming on forsythia in the Riverhead area, but as you move further east on the North Fork, the forsythia is in full bloom or nearly so depending on your location. Sod, which is being harvested, is still being watered, but there's no need for any routine lawn watering at this time. Over the past week, the sight of yellow dandelion flowers in lawns is much more obvious compared to last week. Common groundsel is flowering. Calls continue on using crabgrass pre-emergence products. Notice that chickweed has invaded lawns that were damaged by flooding saltwater damage last year associated with the hurricane. And our first report from the annual Bluegrass Weevil Front from Professor Pat Vidim at the University of Massachusetts, and this is excerpted from her University of Massachusetts landscape management updates. We are monitoring 13 sites throughout the Northeast, collecting daily high and low temperatures as part of the DuPont Weevil Track Program. Some of our cooperatives have already been sending us turf samples, and most of them will start sending us turf samples next week. We use a saltwater extraction to go through those turf samples and determine whether there are any larvae in the turf. In addition, some of our cooperatives have been sending us adult weevils to dissect. A brief synopsis of what we are seeing right now includes, number one, the warmest site we are monitoring is Ridgewood Country Club in Paramus, New Jersey. As of April 1st, they had accumulated 125 base 50 growing degree days, but there were no larvae in the turf sample they sent us. About 70% of the adults were mature, and the remaining 30% were intermediate, probably will be mature within the next week. They reported that the forsythia had recently gone to half green, half gold. Number two, most other sites were 80 to 95 degree days around April 1st, with forsythia holding their first bloom. Two sites near Hartford, Connecticut, were at 105 growing degree days around April 1st, but we still were not seeing any green on the forsythia. Based on dissections from a week ago, I expect about half the adults to be mature at this point, with the remaining adults intermediate in development. Based on weather forecasts for western Massachusetts, high in the mid-50s and low 60s over the next few days, we will not be accumulating degree days rapidly for the next week. However, the plants are continuing to develop, as are the insects. So for those of you in New England who are planning to apply an adulticide this spring, you should get ready to do so soon. If you plan to make only one application, I would hold off until forsythia is showing half green, half gold, or at least some green tissue. If you're going to make two applications, the first one could go down early this week, right after Easter, with the second one following about 10 days later. A note from our own Bob Portmes at Cornell University on soil temperature and crabgrass. Soil temperatures play a significant role in determining when crabgrass seed will germinate in the spring. It's been determined that the density of the turf stand, the size of the gap between individual grass plants, plays a role in soil temperature fluctuation. Thin stands of turf have large gaps, and soil will warm quicker in the spring compared to soil in a dense stand of turf. In this case, the majority of the crabgrass seed will germinate sooner and over a shorter period of time. In a dense stand of turf under a medium maintenance program, it was found that soil temperatures greater than 73 degrees Fahrenheit were required for significant crabgrass seed emergence. It's also been reported that minimum temperatures of 55 to 58 at daybreak in the upper inch of soil for 4 to 5 days will encourage the initiation of crabgrass germination, something that is in fact being confirmed by what we've seen in the field. Other research has shown that mean soil temperatures of 62 to 65 degrees Fahrenheit are required for germination. Researchers at the University of Maryland monitored soil temperatures and used this information to calculate accumulated growing degree day ranges for crabgrass seed germination. This work conducted by Mike Fidanza back in the 80s and 90s, starting March 1st and using 50 degree Fahrenheit as a base temperature, it was found that 25% of the total crabgrass seed germination occurred by 200 growing degree days, 75% by 600 growing degree days, and 100% by 1100 growing degree days. This research suggests that under average turf density, the germination emergence of crabgrass continue for up to 12 weeks during a typical growing season in the Northeast. An application of pre-emergence herbicide too early in the season before soil temperatures warm adequately may result in the need for additional crabgrass control measures later in the season. The spring warm-up has made scheduling difficult. Phenological indicators may be leaping ahead, but soil temperatures in the GDD schedule may be lagging. It reinforces the need to keep track of growing degree days accumulation in your area and use an inexpensive meat thermometer to monitor your soil temperatures. And finally, my gazing in the grass update starts with a note about pre-stress conditioning. Cool season grasses thrive with daytime temperatures in a 55 to 75 degree range and at 12 to 14 hours of sunlight. This maximizes photosynthetic activity and minimizes respiration. That's where the energy is produced from photosynthesis. The energy produced from photosynthesis is consumed. While this may not be obvious, as top growth has slowed with the very cool nights, roots are very actively growing. The only aspect holding back further development is rainfall. The profoundly dry spring to date has many irrigating turfs. Some is in response to observed wilt, other to a dry soil condition. Still, some out of a perceived need to supply water. This ideal growth period also provides an ideal time to develop some stress tolerance prior to the onset of severe high temperature and moisture stress of summer. Much of this pre-stress condition is related to increases in plant hormone levels such as ABA and cytokinins that increase as plants are exposed to dry conditions and ideal rooting conditions. There is little need at this time to supplement with amino acids and other products, and better to simply allow for some stress, especially on the annual bluegrass. That said, this is no excuse to start pushing things by mowing lower or aggressive vertical mowing, as these can lead to failures related to anthracnose or other stress-related problems, especially with annual bluegrass. Some reasonable drought stress at this time will pay dividends as season progresses. A note about dry weather and coated seed. The consumer market and now some commercial companies are offering some coated seed. The current trend in seed coating is designed to increase moisture retention to the seed. Studies over the years have concluded two key findings. First, seed coating that increases moisture holding does increase germination in less than ideal condition when moisture is limiting or possibly to reduce seed rate. Second, while germination under less than ideal conditions is improved with seed coating, the establishment and density of the stand is not. Simply, some grasses do not have very rapid seedling vigor under ideal or less than ideal conditions, and seed coating is not able to overcome inherent limitations within the species. So while seed coating will help establish in these dry conditions, it is unlikely to help if the stand is not watered properly over time. And then a note about K31 Tall Fescue. K31 Tall Fescue is among the best-selling cool season grass seeds. This is mostly sold to an unwitting public or uninformed professional. It is not an improved turf-type tall fescue and is not recommended for lawns or even cool season pastures any longer. This grass will establish quickly and become very clumpy, significantly reduce the quality of any turf stand. It will be very inexpensive and tempting to buy in large quantities. However, improved turf-type tall fescues that look like Kentucky bluegrass are performing well under these very dry conditions and a much better alternative than the K31. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science here in the Department of Horticulture at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.